Thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. What a glorious... thank you, Deaconess Maria. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing. What a rich treasure you are. You know, honor is one of the things most lacking in our generation. It's almost like something that's, you know, passed away with former generations, right? Honor seems like a lost concept. And yet, honor is the culture of heaven. That's what we do in heaven. We honor our Father. And that's what we do on the earth. And God said, they that honor me, I will honor. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, we learned about one of the ways in which we honor God today. Glory to God. Let's thank God for Deaconess Maria. She's amazing. I love that spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready for our 2025 confessions? Look on the screen. It'll be right there. Let's do it together. It takes a while. They said it takes almost 10 minutes, but I think we have some time. We won't rush. Let's just take it together. Amen. All right. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God Shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God Shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack. My memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills, they all break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued. Mountains are removed. Promises are produced and the enemies are confused. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! We receive that word. We stand on it. We believe for every manifestation of it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. The spirit of the champion. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's read from verse 32 to verse 40. We're going to read in the Amplified version of the Bible. I think I'm going to read it right here from my glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are so faithful. God is so awesome, my friends. Hallelujah. So amazing. It's truly good. It's truly a good God. All right, let's read together Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 32. I'm reading from the Amplified. If you look overhead, it's right there. And what shall I say further? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, closed the mouths of lions. They extinguished the power of raging fire. They escaped the devourings of the sword. Out of frailty and weakness, they won strength and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts. Some women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they may be resurrected to a better life. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. While they were alive, they had to go about wrapped in the skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated. That is, they were in faith when all this was happening to them. Sometimes we think being in faith insulates us from difficulties and challenges that life brings. Faith is how God delivers us. But faith does not promise the absence of difficulty. Faith has never promised the absence of difficulty. Oh, glory to God. Actually, it is through encountering difficulties, when we have the right posture, the posture of faith, it is through encountering difficulties that the next horizons that God has prepared for us come into view. Without Goliath, David would never have become the man he became. The lions and the bear helped him become trained in the wilderness. In the absence of public view, when there was nobody there to judge how he responded. That's how God trains us. God trains us away from public view. The most important things the Lord will say to you, he's going to say to you, not where everybody's watching you, he's going to say to you in the quietness of your heart. Some of the most powerful things that the Lord will minister to you to help you get from where you are to where he wants to take you, he's going to say to you when you are by yourself in the wilderness with no one to applaud. But when you get that training locked down, then God will push you out to the public. Because now he wants to show the world something. Hallelujah. So there might be somebody listening to me today. You might feel like I am in the backside of the desert, somewhere in the backside of the wilderness, and nobody knows me, nobody cares about me, and nobody even remembers me. That's a good place to be. That's a very good place to be. I stumbled, I brought it out just to show it, because I don't know if they still make notebooks like this. Some of you might remember this, many of you were. This one is dated 16th of July, 1998. And this one has my name. It just has, you know, the topic. I have many of them like this. I'm digging them up slow, one by one. This one, the caption on this, the title is Studies on the Holy Spirit. And then he has at the top of it, For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And, you know, I stumbled on this just a few days ago. And, you know, I wrote a book on the Holy Spirit last year. I wish I found this before then. That book will have much more stuff, you know. And I think I will, actually. I think I'll do part two or something or whatever. Don't be ignorant of the person of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at the topics. I don't know if you can see. My handwriting is very blessed. If I've ever written anything for you by hand, it's almost like a chicken is scribbling. I'm sometimes the only person who can read it. Can you see it? No, not too much. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I just wanted you to see some of the old scribbles from almost 30 years ago. It's very amazing to me, though, that a lot of these things are the things the Lord is still having me minister on today. Look at this. One of our themes this year is fresh oil. I have a whole teaching right here on the fresh oil of gladness, the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. I have one of the ones while I'm doing a teaching right now on Wednesdays. I have a whole section here on 10 emblems of the Holy Spirit, really powerful. I'm doing some teachings on the mind, on renovating the mind on Wednesdays. And one of the teachings I stumbled on that I think I'm going to find a way to insert is a whole, oh my goodness. I mean, this is truly amazing. I wish you could see this notebook. I mean, it's a whole, like, there's a section here that breaks down. You see, I have Greek word pneuma, that's spirit. I have Greek word psuche, that's soul. Then I have Greek word psukikos. Then I have Greek word pneumatikos. Then I have an outline right here on the conscience, the power of a living conscience. I have an outline right here on the Zoe life of God. Oh, my goodness. Why am I telling you this? I have a whole section right here on the regeneration of the disciples, how the disciples came from being just ordinary fishermen that Jesus called to becoming giants of faith. Why am I telling you all this? I have a whole deep teaching here, it's very deep, on what I titled The Doctrine of Man. Oh my goodness. The Doctrine of Man. I have a teaching here on the concept of death. What happens at death when people die? Where are the dead? What is death defined? Then I have under that a section on the three kinds of death: physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. And then I have a section on being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting. I had a story here that I wrote down. This is dated 30th of July, 1998. I had an experience last night. Joe Chooks had just returned from the United States, and I was talking to him and talking about his trip, and he told me, Joe Chooks was a used to be a brother in our congregation as a politician, a businessman. And this I wrote, I think, while I was teaching on being tender-hearted, developing a tender conscience. And he told me how short and full of achievement his trip was, somewhere along the line of some of the things he accomplished on his trip. He mentioned to me offhandedly that when he arrived at the airport, I think it was JFK, immigration officers were bothering him because he had stuff. So he pulled out a $100 bill and he gave it to one of them. And after that, they gave him absolutely easy passage without checking his bulky luggages. And when he said that, I'm reading this verbatim from my notebook. I was laughing along, and to him, that was favor. An easy way to get things done. And I put my personal note, he's probably done that several times in his life and similar things so many other times, and that has become normal to him. He won an election recently under the Abacha regime. Abacha was one of the worst presidents Nigeria ever had. It's bad. He was a bad man. But, you know, this guy used to arrest pastors and missionaries. And we lived right there in it was something. Right in the middle of it all. Where we lived in Marafa Estate. Our home, I may have talked about this before in one of my messages. Our home was, Pastor Tinu is probably laughing if she's watching. Our home was somewhere right there in that estate. Our home was right opposite this huge Alaaji's home. Huge. And people used to line up, you feed them during the Ramadan season and all of this stuff. These were very trying days to be a pastor in that section of the country. We just basically went back and forth. Our daughter, Christine, really was the only one. She exposed us everywhere. It was Christine, because Christine couldn't sit down somewhere, you know, when she was a little girl. You know, like Grace and Joy. It was her and Phoebe. We used to have a help. We hired someone to help us because we were gone all the time. Pastor Tino and I were gone all the time. So we needed help. You know, we're gone the whole day. We come back and then Phoebe was, what a blessing Phoebe was. The Lord sent us that young woman. But it was Christine who would go around the entire neighborhood. And everywhere she went, everywhere, they would say, pastor's child, pastor's daughter. Pastors, we were always kind of not hiding, but you know, we were just minding our business. Because these were very dangerous times. To be not just a Christian, but to be a pastor. But she would go everywhere. And you know, everywhere, when they work, you know, they're going to grind pepper. Now, we didn't have all this, you know, you guys just have grinders. You know, you just put your grinder, you plug it in the wall, you grind your, you know. If you want to grind something, you have to carry that thing, go to, somebody has a grinding business. Some of you know these things I'm talking about. So, Phoebe would go, and Christine wanted to go with her everywhere. Christine will go with her, and they will enter everywhere. And every house they pass, you know, they'll be pointing, that's pastor's daughter, that's pastor. This is how the whole world knew that it was pastors that were living in the house where we were living in. And they loved Christine. Oh, my goodness. But these were, why am I reading this to you? Why am I telling you all this? All of this I used to write, I had a big brown table down in our sanctuary. And I found one little corner there. It was, I couldn't really create a room or anywhere. So I had one little, like in this sanctuary here, like that little corner there with those tables. And that's where I used to sit. And after we go out on evangelism, every work day we go out on evangelism. When we come back in the afternoon, I'll sit there by that table, just studying the word. Just studying the word. Studying and journaling, writing. I mean, sometimes I think I probably literally wrote the whole Bible somewhere, some sections of the Bible. But I remember, there's something I've got to tell you, finish that story about that gentleman. It has something to do with the conscience. Remind me to if I forget, because you know I can go all over the place. Sitting in that corner, I remember we used to read a lot of stories of these heroes and heroines of faith. I just read some of them to you from Hebrews. But there were also some very contemporary ones. There were some that were living right there in our times, in the United States and different parts of the world. We used to read their stories. And there was this particular, I'm a lover of music, I've always been. There's this particular, I can't remember the name of this group. Maybe somebody here, somebody who's listening to me might know this group, may know this song. There's this particular Christian rock band. They had a song that they titled, "It's My Turn Now." It's my turn now. I don't know if anybody knows that song or anybody's heard it before. I think it's a Christian rock group. And this song used to so minister to me. We'll read all these stories, you know, we'll write all these things. And somewhere in my spirit, in that little corner around, now that table was where I did all my discipleships, all these notes I used for this. I used to do a lot of one-on-one retail discipleships. And that corner of that room, I used to sit down there and I used to say to myself, one of these days, we are going to do, by the grace of God, we are going to do some incredible things in this world. Amen. It is truly amazing to me. It's truly amazing to me. In that little corner, around that big, is a big brown table. That's where all these notes, a lot of these notes were written. And I remember I used to sit down there and, there are many other songs, many other artists. Actually, earlier this week, Deaconess Barbara sent me, after one of our Wednesday teachings, she sent me Helen Baylor's Renew Your Mind. I used to know that song. I just didn't remember it until she sent it. You know, used to love Helen Baylor, used to love a lot of these artists. But this particular group, I can't remember them now. It's My Turn Now, they used to sing. And I'll show you why I'm telling you about that in Hebrews. It's my turn now. And one of the things they used to say was, look, God had a lot of things documented in his word so that you and I can know the things that God has done in previous generations, but he wants you to know God is not done yet. Hallelujah. They used to say, it's our turn now. Like all these awesome things we read about God doing in people's lives, through so many people's lives in generations past, it's our turn now. You and I have a place in history. We have a place in destiny. So why am I reading all this stuff to you? I didn't finish that story. I don't know if I want to preach the word. So I'm going to leave that. But there's something about that. I think I want to read that because I'm going to teach about conscience somewhere during this series of teachings I'm doing on renovating the mind. No matter how much you try to renovate your mind, if your conscience is not alive to God, you will never succeed in renovating your mind, ever. You can hear a million messages on renovating the mind. If your conscience, there's a part of you that is called your conscience. Your conscience is the joint knowledge between you and God. There are things in your conscience that only you and God know. And the Bible has a lot to say about the conscience. I stumbled and I have a whole teaching that I'm going to get into it. But where did I finish? Where, I wanted to read this last part on Joe Chooks, but I've lost it now. So I think I'm going to just leave it off and continue my message today. I wanted to read this because it blessed me when I read it. Help me find the Holy Spirit, please. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. There it is. Glory to God. I found it. Yes. So I was laughing along when he was sharing his testimony. What was his testimony? Right? He gave a $100 bribe at the border so that he could get what he wanted. For him, it was a testimony. And I put my personal note. He's probably done that. And similarly, many other things, it was normal to him. He won an election recently under Abacha and probably did a lot of that. And I put my personal note, that election cost him a great deal and it almost ruined his business. Yet, after doing all of that, the election got annulled by the new government. If he had heard the Holy Spirit, he would never have gone into that political race in the first place. To me, what he was sharing with me was not favor. He called it favor. The $100 that he gave that made a way for him at the border. To me, it was not favor. It was bribe. My conscience cried out immediately. And I stifled, I don't know what this English word is, stifled up and didn't enjoy the conversation anymore. Personal note, the more tender your conscience, the more sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit's leading, and the easier it is for you to hear him. Do all you can to keep your conscience tender. Why am I telling you all this? In that little corner, sitting around that table, when it looked like there really was no future, it looked like we were lost in the wilderness, going nowhere. The Holy Spirit kept ministering to us. And I kept writing, kept studying, kept. But I remember I used to say to myself, one of these days, we are going to do some incredible things in this world by the grace of God. Back then, I used to say that back then, around that table, when there was nobody present, I used to say, we are going to do some incredible things around the world for the glory of God. It is truly amazing to me today. What doors God has opened to us over these 30 to 40 years ago. It's truly amazing what preparations God has made. The ability, the privilege to be able to change, indeed change the world from that little corner. So there might be somebody listening to me in some little corner of the world. And you might feel like my life is not going anywhere. Nobody remembers me. I know I have faith, but I don't see any results of my faith. The real giants of faith, they are the ones we are watching on television. I just want you to know, wherever you are today, God is preparing you for something great. I said, God is preparing you for something great. It's your turn now. Your story will be written. I said, your own story too will be written. Some of you are not excited. I'm not sure your mind, where your mind is gone. But I need you to stay here. Because the Lord has something he wants to say to you. Amen. Don't get distracted. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your mind. You know, like I say on Wednesdays, tell your mind, stay here. Come back here. Because your mind is roaming. Right? And you know, your mind, that song, one of the lines from that song, the mind, she said, Ellen Bello said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Truly, your mind is a gift that God gave you. Your mind can change your future. The problem with many believers, their minds have never ever been trained and developed in a spiritual way. They know everything going on in the world. If you play some music that is really raving in the world right now, they'll finish the lyrics for you. They know every movie. They know every current news, every current affair. But their minds are really deadened when it comes to the things of God. There's no sensitivity to the things of God. There's no life. And that takes training. Your mind is going to keep walking in a direction until you put a leash like a dog. You know, like a dog? You know how people make dogs do things they want that dog to do? You have to put a leash on that dog. And you have to say to that mind, listen, we are not going there anymore. This is now where we are. He said, you have to do it. And until you make that change, until you get to the point in your life where you make that radical change and you begin to redirect your mind and redirect, your life will not go where God wants your life to go. You know how easy it is sometimes? You're listening to a message. It's the most spiritual thing you can be doing. And while you are listening to the message, I mean, sometimes I'm listening to the talking Bible. You know the talking Bible, you know the electronic Bible that talks? I'm listening to that talking Bible. Oh, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and it's going. Sometimes by the time I get to John chapter 5, I've gone to Chicago, I've gone to Boston, I've gone to New York, I've gone to Australia, I've gone to London, I've gone to the Bahamas. And then by the time, you know, I'm like, oh, we're now in John chapter 5. The last I remembered was John chapter 2. You know what happened? My mind took off. My mind took off. Even though I was hearing, I was not listening. I was not receiving what was in that word. Every mind is like that. I recently did a test. I studied myself. I said, how come a Christian can listen to the word of God? The same theme taught. Same similar theme taught year after year after year. And you listen to the words that come out of their mouth. It's like they never heard those messages. They never heard those messages. They still talk exactly the same way they used to talk 20 years ago. They still reason exactly the same way they used to reason. Nothing changed. Why? Because they have never trained their minds to yield to God. They have never said to their mind, we are not going there anymore. This is where we're going now. You know, when thoughts come, all of us have to process thoughts. You either have to say to that thought, stop. That's not from God. Stop. You have to put that gatekeeper. Right? Say, so, no, we're going to think the thoughts of God. And then replace those negative thoughts. And I'm not even saying negative because it's bad. Right? It could just be, somebody can be talking to you. Instead of listening to them, you could be judging them. Right? You'll be judging them. See, the mind is so warped. Why? Why do you do that? Because you have always judged people. Your mind has always judged people. That's what you've always done all your life. So here you are, right here in the presence of God, the most spiritual place that you will ever be. You are listening to the most spiritual thing you will ever listen to. But instead of hearing it, your mind has traveled. Because that is what your mind always does. And until you put a leash on that mind. This is, for many people, that's why the Lord has me teaching on renovating the mind. This is a very simple concept. We know these things. But I'm telling you, there's a difference between knowing something and actually living it. For a lot of believers, this is the line. You have to make a difference. Why is it that between myself and majority of the people in my kin, in my family, we don't think the same way? They are all saved. They are born again. They go to church. Some of them are associate pastor here, elder, da-da-da-da. But when it comes to the things of God, we don't think the same way. When I say, the covenant says this. This is how the covenant expects. You see, it's totally foreign. It's totally foreign to them. Somebody can hear this story I just told you about a brother who gave a $100 bribe and described it as favor. And somebody can say, but that's the favor of God. It's not the favor of God. It's not the favor of God. There are places around this world in the body of Christ where some of the things that we teach and some of the things we believe are so foreign. And some of them are members of our families. They read the same Bible. You have to make up your mind. I made up my mind a long time ago. Oh, I'm so thankful. Father, thank you. And you know what? The results are obvious today. The healing, the prosperity, the open doors, the favor, the grace, the wisdom, the anointing. The difference is so clear. Each of us has to make up our mind. Where do you want to go? And how far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Let's go back to Hebrews 11. I'm preaching better than you are responding. Glory to God. some of you look like you are lost somewhere in some faraway kingdom. Tell your mind, say, come back here. Or maybe the message is just so deep. It's just striking you so deep. Well, I feel good then if that's what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. You know I'm going to preach this word. I don't care. I'm going to preach this word. Amen. Amen. I'm paid to preach it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm paid to preach it. Amen. I'm paid to preach it. I mean, God pays me to preach it. I'm assigned to preach it. See what I'm reading to you from notes from 30 years ago? If that has not changed, if it's still true, then I'm going to keep preaching it. Hallelujah. One of us has to change, and it's going to be you. I mean, not you sitting here, somebody listening somewhere. Because you guys, you already changed, right? Amen. Why are you not smiling? What's going on? Did somebody die? Come, you guys are too serious. What's going on? It's deep. Then take it and then smile. smile. You know, we smile, right? Joy is an evidence of faith. Joy is an evidence of receiving hope. You know, joy. I need to see some joy. You guys just look so quiet. Is this how you always look when we're not here? Those of you guys who preach, is that how they look when they... Is it how you, when you guys preach, is this how these people look? They just look like this? So it's me? I'm the problem? Am I the problem? I'm a good problem. I think I'm a very good problem. I'm a problem that's not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Glory to God. So get used to this. Hallelujah. Let's get back to Hebrews. Our time is gone. Glory to God. I think I'm just having too much fun. I'm just playing with you guys. Don't be too serious. Just receive the word, okay? Amen. I say just receive the word. Somebody say, I'm receiving it. Amen. Say, I'm receiving it. Say, I'm receiving it. Amen. Amen. Let's go back. Hebrews 11:35. Some women received again their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Oh, I think I know what I'm missing. I'm missing the Akron guys. That's what I'm missing. That's got to be it. I know I was missing something. It's the Akron people. Yeah. Because, you know, by now, the Akron people, they'll be dancing. They'll say, hey, hey, no matter what you say, hey, hey. Glory to God. All right. You guys... Do something. Do something different, okay? All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this precious, precious ship. Cause your word to bring elevation. Wherever somebody is listening to me today, let the spirit in this message stir up depths of desire, hunger. Lord, we're so prone to wanting to conform to the world around us. We want to fit in. Lord, let the spirit in this message stir your people to fit out and not fit in. Let them want to be different. Let them want to carry the ark of that covenant. Let them want to carry the favor of God. Let them want to carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit and make a difference in this world. Make a difference in this world. Stir up their passion, a hunger, Lord, a dissatisfaction with the status quo. Amen. No matter what our histories are, no matter what our stories are, Father, equip each and every one of us to be able to rise up like mighty warriors, the champions that you called us to be, and to make a difference in this world. To make a difference in our generation. You are counting on us. You are counting on us. You've anointed us to do it. Help us do it. We can't do it without you. We receive your grace. Father, some that may have just been in one position for years and years and so used to that position, stir them up. I pray that in my private, Lord, you know I'm praying it publicly now. Stir them up. Let there be a passionate desire and a passionate drive within each and every one of your people to be different, to make a difference, to not be satisfied, to not try to merge, to not try to conform and fit in, but to know it's okay to be different for God, to make a difference for God. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. You don't have to try to give up anything that God has given you. You don't, not in your family, not in the world, not in your place of work, not in the church. You don't have to try to conform. You do not have to try to conform. Some of you are going up here, but some of the people around you are down here. They keep talking nonsense. They keep acting silly. And so you don't want to be different. You don't want them to say, why is he so different? Why is she so different? So what are you doing? You are stepping down. You are stepping down so that you can conform. You can be like every. You don't have to be that. You do not have to be that. You be the example that they are looking. You be that example. I don't care if it costs you relationship. I don't care if it costs you favor. Whatever favor man takes, God will restore. You be different. Dare to be different. Be radical. Somebody say, I'm going to be radical. Say it. I'm going to be radical for God. We're living in a world where, listen, average is not going to cut it anymore. Average is not going to cut it. We're dealing with spiritual forces that are running governments and running teams and communities. Average is not going to cut it. You are going to have to take a stand for righteousness, and you are going to have to take a stand in faith. You are going to have to take a stand for the purpose of God. You have to know why God sent you here, and you've got to take that stand and insist on doing that. He said, why are you so different? Just tell them, because, yeah, I'm different because I'm just conforming to God. I'm just being who God called me to be. You don't have to try to, even in your families. I got to say this is a word for somebody. Even in your families, you are trying so hard. You want to speak right. You want to talk right. You want to act right. But members of your family, they are all saved. But they are down here talking nonsense. You are trying so hard up here to speak words, edifying words, words that glorify God, words that honor God, words that build your destiny, that build your future, words that are in line with the word of God. You're trying so hard, but down here, they keep talking nonsense. And you feel like you're a misfit. Get out of there and be a misfit. And find a new team. God will give you people that will talk like you. Amen. Listen, your destiny depends on this. I don't know about you. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be a failure. My destiny depends on it. I have to get it right. One day after I get it right, they may not like me right now, but one day when they know I'm getting it right, they will come back, they'll say, you know, just as brothers did that. Show us, teach us the secret. But if you need to separate yourself, separate yourself. You can't keep hanging around junk and expect that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to walk over your life. It won't. We need to stop this mentality of being conformed. I want to blend in. You don't need to blend in with anything. You are a child of God. You are a champion. You are a winner. You are a mighty warrior. God called you. You have a unique destiny upon your life. You don't have to try to step down in any area of your life so that somebody can accept you. No, you are already accepted in the beloved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh my goodness, almost 1 o'clock. I haven't even preached my message today. Okay, I'm going to try to read this scripture from the Passion Translation and close out this service because it's almost 1 o'clock already. You have to forgive me for being this way. I wasn't like this before I came into the service, so something, I don't know what it is. I want to read Hebrews 11:32 from verse 32 to 40 in the Passion. We don't have the Passion, unfortunately. So you are just going to have to listen to me read it out to you. There's something I wanted to say to you. I wanted to show you here in that last verse. Go right back there. Let's go back to the Amplified. Moriah, put up put up Hebrews 11, put up verse, I think it is verse 39 in the Amplified. Let's look at it. There's something I needed to show you there before leaving. There it is. There it is. Verse 39 and verse 40. I want to show you this. Verse 39 and verse 40. Look at this. This is in the Amplified, right? And all of these people, even though they won divine approval by means of their faith in God, even then they did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. Why? Go on to the next verse. Because God had us in mind. And he had something better and greater in view for us. That's us, is you and me. So that these heroes and heroines of faith should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Meaning, it is our turn now. God had us in mind. It's our turn now. He wrote about David. He wrote about Rahab. He wrote about Jethro. He wrote about this. He wrote. Now he wants to put your name there. It's your turn now. God wants to put your story and your name in that scripture. In this scripture with the names of the Hall of Fame. Somebody says, it's my turn now. So that means you and I, we've got to be doing some great things for God. Average will not cut it. We've got to be making a difference in our generation. We've got to be making a change in people's lives. Hallelujah. Say it again, it's my turn now. I want to read that just my last scripture, and then we'll close today. Sorry. I didn't preach my message, but that's fine. I preached what the Holy Spirit wanted me to preach. We don't have the passion, but I want to read these scriptures from the passion. So just listen to me. And what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. I love this one. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled those promises into reality. Listen to this. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled those promises into reality. It was their faith that shut the mouth of lions. It was their faith that put out the power of raging fire. Amen. And caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Amen. Somebody listening to me today, you are escaping certain death. Hallelujah. By the sword. Amen. There are accidents and there are calamities that are targeted towards you, that are coming in your direction, but by your faith in God, you are going to walk through like the three Hebrew boys walk through fire. In their weakness, faith imparted power to make them strong. They were weak naturally, but faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle. Woo. There are some mighty warriors listening to me in this service today. I said there are some mighty warriors listening to me in this service today who are going to pull people out of the raging fire. They are going to pull people out of the pit of hell. They are going to pull people out of the wayward way of life and bring them right into the kingdom of God. Verse 35, faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Yet, it was also faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and they were tortured, but they did not deny their faith in order to be freed. My friends, you don't have to deny who you are to conform to the world, to be acceptable to somebody. You don't have to step down in your faith so that you can be where everybody is at. God put you up there for a reason. There's a reason so much treasure is invested into your life. Your life is not a mistake. Your journey is not a mistake. Where you find yourself today is not a mistake. There's a reason God put you there. There's a reason God put you there. There's a reason God put you there. You shouldn't feel regret for having all that you have. You shouldn't feel regret for being exposed to this high level of spirituality. There's a reason God needs trailblazers in every generation. Do you know how many millions of people who lived in the time of David, but how many of them does the Bible talk about that we know their names? But we know David. God knows, God needs trailblazers. Some people, you know, now I've seen that, you know, we're sitting in places, we're talking, and we're, you know, we're conforming to the word. And we're saying, well, the word says this, this is what the word says. And they go, the word. The word. Like, I ought to be ashamed because I believe the word. Like, I ought to keep my mouth shut because I'm radical about my faith in the word. You don't know what the word of God has done for me. I wish I could tell you. I would not be here without that word. Me, then try to be acceptable to you and play cute and play cute and you know. No, I know what the word's done in my life. Maybe it sounds old fashioned to you. God bless you. But one day, that's somebody's alarm. It's not my alarm. Somebody's telling me it's time to stop preaching, but I'm not done yet. I just need a few more minutes. Turn your alarm off. Glory. I just need a couple more minutes. I'm not done yet. Glory. I'm not about to keep quiet. I have just a few. I'm almost there, but I'm not quite. Turn your alarm off for a minute, please. So I'm supposed to keep quiet. Like, it doesn't sound cute. Nobody's talking like that today. It's old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. May God have mercy on you with your new fashion. Because all the new fashion people, they are loaded up on dope. Dying on drug abuse. Depression. Anxiety. Strung out. Don't know what to do with themselves. Have no help. Don't know how to get through the day. with all their new fashion. You want me to step down to their level with all that I know and all that I have received in my life. I'm sorry, I beg to pass. No thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not doing that. I know too much. I have seen too much. I have seen too much. You want me to give up being led by the Holy Spirit in the name of going with the group? I've seen too much. No, thank you. No, thank you. I will not be alive today. I'll never forget, years ago, I was about to board a bus. I was selling, I was doing business, trading, trying to pay for a master's program in Nigeria. I was taking Christian books and music and things to the north from Lagos, and then taking, we used to call them some of these, they were Hausa things, northern things, they were bags, the nice, pretty things that they did there. I'll take them from there back to, I'll ship them out to Lagos. And I only had the weekend to do it before resuming class on Monday. And I remember on one of those trips, I had to leave in the night. And my times were so crucial. Once you miss it by a couple of minutes, you miss that main bus, that might be, it might push your return to like Monday afternoon. You miss your classes on Monday morning. So everything had to be like clockwork for me. And I remember this particular bus. It was my bus. And I got there. I was on time. I had my ticket, but I think maybe I went to get something to eat. They were still loading, but they said, oh, they oversold the ticket. Somebody took my place. I couldn't get on this bus. I was frustrated. I was upset in my mind, but somewhere in my spirit, I had peace. He said, God is going to work this out, whatever that takes. So I let the bus go and got on the second bus. Neck deep in the trip. Remember, we traveled all night. Neck deep in the trip. Neck deep. This bus was in the ditch, burning. All the passengers dead. Every single one of them dead. Right there in the ditch. And I thought, that would have been me. That would have been me. There's value to being led by the Holy Spirit. Don't give up the treasure that you have in the name of wanting to conform. Those of you who work in the marketplace, those of you who sit in boardrooms and you sit in high places and you relate with the CEOs and high, don't, in the name of trying to conform, don't you dare give up what you know. The treasure of life that God has given you has already given you a leg up in life. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Paul said, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of the gospel. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Romans 1, 16, 17. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of what you have and who you are. In the name of wanting to be like everybody else. Let's close. Others were mocked. They experienced the most severe beating with whips. They were in chains and in prison. Some of these faith champions, that's what he calls them. Some of these faith champions were brutally killed by stoning, means stoning too, slaughtered by the sword. They lived in faith as they went about wearing goatskins and sheepskins for clothing. They lost everything they possessed. They endured great afflictions and they were cruelly mistreated. They wandered the earth, living in desert and wilderness, in caves, on barren mountains, in holes of the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. These were the true heroes, commended for their faith. Yet, they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised them. But now, God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, the fullness of faith. This is so that they could be brought to finish perfection alongside us. It's our turn now. It's our turn to make a change in this world. I don't care what the majority of the people are saying around us. It's our turn to be the voice for God, the voice of hope. It's our turn to be the one that speaks up, and what comes out of our mouths isn't just garbage. What comes out of our mouths are things that the angels of God can take and use to produce power, supernatural power. Can you stand to your feet? It's your turn now. It's your turn now to make a change. Whatever you do, you are no ordinary person. You are not like everybody else. It's your turn now. Whether you are young or old, even our little children, even our little children. Don't be ashamed to teach them what you know from the Word of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't say it's old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned. It's the Word of God. Faith is never old-fashioned. It's our turn to make a change. Maybe it's you. There's somebody that you meet dealing with a sickness situation, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for them. Don't say it's old-fashioned to pray for people. Don't say that. Ask them, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Can I agree with you that the power of God will turn this situation around? It's not old-fashioned. That's the life of God. That's the Zoe life of God that you have been given. To make a change in this world. God wants to use you to do some incredible things in this world. Like that young missionary sitting down in that corner of a church with a brown, big brown table. Thinking he was in a dead-end place in his life. How would he ever break out? And yet God kept saying, I'm going to use you to do some incredible things in this world. That's you today. God is saying to you today, no matter where you find yourself on this earth, I don't care what your corner, your own corner is. I don't care what your own brown table is. God is going to use you to do some incredible things in this world. It may look like it's not big, it's not glitzy. There are no cameras, no bright lights, but that's not where God starts from. God always starts from the backside of the wilderness, where there's nobody but you and him. He always starts where he sees you. Sometimes you're crawling and you stumble. And he tells you, get up. Get up and go again. And you get up and you go again. And this time you hit it. That's where it always starts. It starts from where there are no accolades. There's no applause. Nobody's putting your name on the neon lights, neon signs. It starts in the very mundane places of life where only you and the Holy Spirit occupy. Where you learn the principles of obedience to God. Where you learn the principles of sacrifice. Nobody's paying you to make that sacrifice, but you know God will. That's where it starts. That's where giants, that's where champions are built. They are built in the backside of the desert where nobody's watching. Your little situation and how you respond every day to the little things of life, that's where champions are made. It's your turn now. God is counting on you. He's not counting numbers. He's counting on you. He's not counting dollars. He's counting on you. He's not counting connections. He's counting on you. He's not counting assets. He's counting on you. It's your turn now. Father, thank you so very much for your visitation with us in this service. I thank you so very much for sending a word to us to stir us up, to quicken us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for breathing upon us today. For shaking us up. For pulling us up. This is a higher place in God. It's a next level. It's a next level. And we're not satisfied where we are. We're not satisfied. We haven't seen all that you have. We haven't seen all you've prepared for us. No, we haven't. No, we haven't. We want more and more and more and more of you and more of you, Lord, and more of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've shown yourself so clearly today. Even before this service started, Lord, I saw you so clearly, so closely, walking. You walked again in this service. I thank you for that. And beyond this service, when we all get out of here and we go home and we go to our jobs on Monday, our different assignments through the week, Holy Spirit, continue to walk. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Be merciful to us. If we don't move as quick, be merciful to us. Be patient with us. If we don't take the steps you command at the time that you do, be merciful to us. We know you won't give up on us. We know you won't quit on believing us. That's not who you are. That's not what you do. And we yield to you completely. Completely. All through this week, help us feel your presence. Help us feel your touch. Help us see your work. Help us see you moving in different areas of our lives. We thank you for it. We bless and we magnify your holy name. You alone deserve the glory, and you alone deserve the praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we honor you. We bless you today, oh God.